Welcome back to KTOO Public Media's Juno Afternoon. It's time for, yes, Foodie Friday. And our next guest is here to tell us about a St. Patrick's Day tradition of Grandma Walsh's Irish bread. Welcome to our Juno Irish correspondent, Pat McClear. Pat, thanks so much for coming in.
My pleasure.
Top of the morning to you. And, yeah, this is it's such a fun holiday, a time when we can kind of celebrate the Irish, and also I'd think, you know, the amazing contributions Irish have made to what we think of as America today. You're wearing a great Boston Pride shirt there, the Celtics.
I knew, even though I was on the radio, I had to dress appropriately because I think the Boston Garden is the only place where you can find leprechauns on this side of the Atlantic.
I grew up going to the Boston Garden and seeing the Celtics. That's
okay,
my
there
country.
You go.
Yeah.
So you know of what I speak.
I do. Yeah. Even as a German heritage young kid, I understood. I saw a few leprechauns in there.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So let's talk about it. You've got this Grandma Walsh's Irish bread.
Delish.
Where does this recipe come from? And tell
Grandma
me about
Walsh
it.
Was an immigrant from Ireland, and she lived nearby. She was a dear friend of my mother's. And just like other elders in our family and not directly in our family, they were referred to as aunts, uncles, et cetera. And so Kathleen Walsh was referred to as Grandma Walsh.
And what part of where was this?
In Massachusetts, in southeastern Massachusetts, Attleboro, just north of Providence.
Okay. So down in that area. So it's really an interesting cake because it looks kind of a mixture between like a fruit cake and a bread sort of.
It does have dried fruit in it. It calls for currants or raisins. I have yellow raisins in this one. I also sometimes use cranberries because I often have those in the cupboard. So you go with what you got.
Is it a bread that's yeast based?
No, it is not. It is. So when I say Irish bread, people expect that I'm bringing bread that doesn't – that you typically think of.
Like a big loaf of bread.
Yeah. But this is not yeasted and – it has lots of butter.
It's got a pound cake quality to it,
sort of. Yeah. And it's sweet, so it has sugar in it, although her original recipe carried more sugar than I put in
there.
You back it down a little bit. But, you know, it's kind of like storytelling in the oral tradition that gets passed down, and every time the story is told, it changes, tweaks just a little.
Well,
and I think that goes
appropriate
with, that
for
goes
recipes.
With recipes as yeah. well. They get tweaked just a little as they get passed down from one to the other.
Well, and I can see there, you know, I like the idea of bringing in some natural ingredients that from this area.
So people, it isn't soda bread. People, when I say I'm bringing the Irish bread, people anticipate that I'm bringing soda bread. But this is not soda bread. This has baking powder in it, so it will rise, but not the soda.
And baking bread. And soda bread is just baking soda used as the leavening agent.
And it's much heavier and denser and not as sweet.
Right. It's delicious.
A little butter and a cup of tea, it's good to go.
You have I'm going to have a little of this now.
Please
You have put a generous helping of butter on this.
Well, I'll give credit where credit is due. Scott said, "I hope he likes butter."
I like butter.
So there you go. He was on the mark.
I'm going to try a little. Now, what should I be tasting for here? What should I be?
Well, see, there is some seeds in there. If you can identify what those seeds are.
They're caraway seeds.
Well, they are. Good. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Good man. There are caraway seeds in there. So when,
that's good.
When I butter up the loaf pans, I sprinkle the caraway seed on the pans before I put in the dough so it doesn't stick. So it has the caraway seeds surrounding it, and it also has caraway seeds inside of it.
You put enough. Oh yeah, I see the crust now. You're talking about you put a ton of caraway seeds around
like
the eggs. Yeah, they're delicious. But I mean, that actually serves as a non-stick element as well.
Yes, yes.
Kind of like putting cornmeal.
Exactly.
Okay.
Or flour.
Yeah.
Or
right. Yeah. I see.
Right,
okay.
Right. So I sprinkle the caraway seeds.
Yeah, they're delicious. Caraway seeds sometimes have an almost licorice quality to them. You know, I love that that characteristic.
And then on the top, sugar is sprinkled on top of it, so it has a nice little crust on there as well.
That's good. I got that
and
out of it too, yeah.
And it raises high enough and it splits down the middle. So sometimes it's a challenge to cut it. But then you have these big crumbs that are left behind and you get to munch on those.
Right. I mean, that is a bonus. You want that.
It's definitely a bonus.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah.
So
I'm talking, you know, a slice in the morning, put in the toaster, comes up, you slather it with some butter, maybe a little marmalade, a cup of tea, cup of coffee. It starts the day out on not just the right foot, the right feet.
I love it. I think you're right. Now, are there other this time of year, especially, or maybe just any time of year? Are there other recipes that are an Irish?
Well, someone would ask me about corned beef and cabbage in our home,
I'm going to keep eating this, by the way.
That wasn't the case because corned beef and cabbage was on the regular Sunday dinner rotation. So once a month, once every 6 weeks, because Sunday dinners was a big deal. And there was always a huge table full of people. And the boiled dinner was something that my mother would concoct. And so corned beef and cabbage was just in the rotation.
The boiled dinner.
Yes.
That's a term?
Yes.
The boiled dinner. So I've never heard that term. I mean, I think I know what you mean.
Yep.
Is it kind of like it hits it all in one pot kind of thing?
You throw in the carrots and the cabbage and the potatoes, some turnips and the hunk of meat and you get yourself a boiled dinner. But the best, the absolute best was not that for Sunday dinner, but rather the corned beef hash on Monday.
For breakfast?
She served it on supper. Mother.
Yeah.
She served it for supper on Monday nights. And I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Give me two helpings of if there was enough left. But I'd be loving that corned beef hash.
Corned beef hash.
Yeah.
So corned beef and cabbage, that was just a regular part of the rotation. Was there a special thing that you remember? Was there a dish that was a special dish?
No.
That would come out. Not really.
No. Yeah. You know, my parents were working.
Folks.
And if St. Patrick's Day, like this one coming up on Sunday, if it was during Lent and you're supposed to – if it was on a Friday, then you're eating fish.
Sure.
Exactly.
Fish sticks.
Exactly. Cream tuna on toast.
Oh, boy.
So, you know, those things – St. Patrick's Day was what it was. But although I did go to a Catholic school where the school mascot was a shamrock.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we were the mighty shamrocks. How that happened. And so, you know, there was always the wearing of the green. That was every day in your uniform. So, you know, it was a fact of life.
It was just ingrained in everything you did kind of.
Yeah.
So, but I'm interested in this boil. What'd you call it?
The boiled dinner.
Boiled dinner.
Yep.
I love that term. Can you give folks an idea of maybe a boiled dinner that's not corned beef and cabbage, but something else that people might try?
If there's a hunk of ham, you know, that could go in there.
And just the same types of vegetables typically? I mean, cabbage
cheap.
Is typically.
Cheap,
yeah, right.
Right?
Right.
Am I talking cheap?
Yeah.
But cabbage, potatoes. You know,
a kind of can't go wrong.
No,
yeah.
You can't go wrong. And so, if you're feeding a lot of people, and it's not that labor intensive, truly, because you don't have several different pots.
Yeah, right.
You got one big pot, and you drop them in accordingly to how long they're going to cook, and then you strain them all out, put them out on the with butter.
Yeah.
A little salt and pepper. It's all good. Maybe some horseradish.
Now you're talking.
Yep. Mustard.
I know.
Yep.
It all sounds good to me. Well, Pat, this is awesome. Thanks so much for bringing this in. This is delicious. I'm going to finish this if that's okay.
Oh, please do.
And the recipe for this, for anyone who's interested, and I'm actually really interested in this, so I'm going to go look at it, but it's on our website, kto.org/JunoAfternoon. You'll see a link to it right there, as well as some pictures of it. And it's Grandma Walsh's Irish Bread from Pat McClear. Pat, thanks so much for bringing it in.
You're very welcome. And let's applause for Kathleen Walsh.
For Kathleen Walsh, yes, we're thinking of you. And thanks so much for this beautiful recipe. And thank you, Pat.
You're welcome. All Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. Let's play a little Pogues here.